The Rohingya Muslim community has been residing in Rakhine State in Myanmar for many years, and in some cases for many generations. However, they are not recognized as citizens of Myanmar, and this has led to a lot of discrimination against them. Now, in the year 2012, there was an episode of violence which erupted in Rakhine State, and since then, some 120,000 Rohingya and Kaman Muslims have been displaced from their homes. In some cases, they're really not very far from their homes. They're in the same town, or they're just, you know, several hundred meters away, but they're not able to return to their homes for fear of reprisals.
In 1982, there was a citizenship law that recognized ethnicities but not the Rohingya ethnicity. So you would need to be the child of an already existing ethnicity. Mm-hmm. So that made it official that they're not a recognized ethnicity. This is the legal basis of the blurred position they are in. Why wasn't their ethnicity recognized originally as one of the existing one?
Well, this is what we're arguing, that this is clearly and patently discriminatory. And the citizenship law that you referred to, the 1982 citizenship law, it also gives very broad powers to the government to revoke citizenship without due protection. And this has led to statelessness. Now, the right to nationality is a fundamental human right, but the vast majority of these Rohingya are completely stateless. They do not belong to another country. And their lack of citizenship heightens their vulnerability to a range of human rights violations. There are arbitrary restrictions on their freedom of movement. Even moving from one town to another becomes difficult when you don't have the right papers with you. Their right to health is affected. The children's right to education is affected. And in terms of their interaction with law enforcement officials, they're much more vulnerable to abuses because of their position. And in many cases, these individuals choose to flee or are trafficked to other parts of Asia as well. Last year, quite a large number of Rohingya internally displaced people from Myanmar fled to other countries in the region, including Malaysia, including Thailand as well. And this led to further violations of their rights. I mean, they were crammed into boats. In some cases, they were then trafficked to other parts of these countries. And in some cases, some of them actually drowned en route.
What are the options for the UN to help these people since they don't have really a legal status?
At the end of the day, whether these countries are signatories to the refugee conventions or not, these people have human rights. They cannot be left to suffer human rights violations simply because they are not recognized as refugees by a state.
What's the next step for the UN?
The report recommends that discriminatory local orders in Rakhine State be abolished. Now, these are local orders that are put in place by the authorities of Rakhine State. One example is a local order that restricts marriages. You have to go and seek permission to get married. And when you do get that permission, it comes with caveats, including restrictions on the number of children and the timing and the spacing of your children and the requirement to use contraception. And if you breach these requirements, you can be subject to up to 10 years in prison.
And would you say that you're perceiving an opening at this time?
Yes, indeed. In fact, this report by the UN Human Rights Office was shared with the government of Myanmar, and their responses were quite constructive. They acknowledged that the problem does exist, and they stressed that this is a priority for them as well. We now have a new government in Myanmar, and this new government has been engaging well with the United Nations. And they have indicated that resolving the issues of minorities in Myanmar is a priority. There is a new government in place. However, there are still many hardliners. There are still community leaders who are engaging in an incitement to hatred and to religious intolerance. Many of these ultra-nationalist Buddhist organizations are still engaging in this kind of behavior. So as the High Commissioner said, we understand that it takes time. However, what we are saying is that there are some immediate steps that can be taken to ameliorate the situation. Abolishing these local orders, lifting the bureaucratic requirements for people who need to access hospitals, for example, that is an immediate step that can be taken to ameliorate the situation for these minorities. While in parallel, working towards long-term measures to change the attitudes, to change the policies towards these people.
Do we know a bit more about the demands of the Rohingya refugees, or what are their claims?
They would like to go home in safety. They would like to have basic access to education for their children, access to health for pregnant women, for people who are suffering from various illnesses. They would like to be able to work in a different township. Currently, they need to get permission to even go to the next township, which severely restricts their ability to make a living. So they would like what all of us would like, a normal life in safety and in dignity.